Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Well, let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for your word tonight. God, our hearts are open, our minds are open. Father, we want to receive whatever it is that you have for us tonight, God. We love you so much, in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Well, Pastor's been talking about freedom a lot, and I love that concept of just freedom. One of the first verses I ever memorized, because it was short, was Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that he has set us free. And I just love that thought of, that's why Jesus came, was so I could have life and life more abundant, but really so I could be free. Because if we're entangled in sin, we're not free. People out there think, I'm free, I live in a free country, but they are not free. They are tethered to whatever that sin is. They are tethered to whatever that thing is that has them bound. And I think the best way to be free is to know the truth. So the question always standing in my message title is, what's the truth? How do we find the truth? Where's the truth at? Kids these days, and even some of our interns, like to play a game called Two Truths and a Lie. So what you do is you're in a group and you say two truths and a lie, and they got to decide which one the lie is, which I'm horrible at. So I don't ever want to play it, because I know you're going to know when I'm lying, because I'll tell two things that are obvious and one thing that's outlandish, you know? And it's like, well, you have to guess which one's the lie. You know, I'm not good at that game, but you have people that they're great at it. And I think in life, sometimes we feel like that. I don't know what the lie is. I think sometimes we get stuck with what's the lie, or what's in God's word, what's not God's word, what's what the world's saying, what's what the word is saying. And I think that's where we find the truth. That's where we find the truth, and we can learn to decipher that. What's the world saying, and what's the word of God saying? And I think too often we start thinking the world sounds right, because it makes sense. And to our flesh, it's like, well, that can't be too bad. It's, you know, I know a lot of people who do that, and they're living an okay life, but they're not living the greatest life imaginable. And I'm telling you, that greatest life imaginable, that peace, that joy, man, that comes from God. That comes from living according to his word. What's the truth? Not the facts, but what's the truth? John chapter 8, starting in verse 31, says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love that, because all we have to do is abide in his word, and he says we're his disciples, but he also says, and we shall know the truth. When we abide in God's word, we abide in Jesus. It says we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free. I think we overcomplicate it so often, because I think we're trying to, what's going to feel good in the moment? Instead of just saying, okay, what does God's word say? Period. Don't rationalize that. Don't try and think, what does God's word say? But now you're in trouble. What does God's word say? Can I push this line? Man, let's just simplify and say, okay, God, what does your word say? Why? I want to live free. I want to live according to your truth. It says literally, and you shall know the truth, and that truth will make you free. But you got to abide in the word. You got to abide in the word to know that truth. Man, if you're not in the word every day, it's going to be hard for you to stay free. It's going to be tough, because it says abide in the word. Abide is, it's not just like, hey, hang out occasionally. It's abide in the word. You got to be a part of that every single day, and that you will know the truth, and that truth will set your free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? And I think people feel like that. I live in a free country. What do you mean I'm not free? That's what they're in essence saying. They're like, what do you mean? We're not in bondage. We're not like trapped. We're not slaves to anything. Man, we're free people. And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The difference between a son and a slave is very different. And I just thought about that, because it says, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if a son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. A slave doesn't abide in the house forever. I mean, if you have kids, they have free reign. You know, I mean, they can go to the fridge whenever they want. They can come in the house, come in and out. I mean, it's theirs. They don't pay for anything, but somehow it's theirs, right? Like, they're not earning anything towards this, but they have access to everything. Why? Because they're sons and daughters. It's the same way with us. But a slave is different. And it says if you're entangled in sin, it says, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of that sin. I'll never forget, I had an old youth kid. And he just said, man, I feel like living for God, I feel like I'm a slave. Like, I can't really go do what I want to do. And I said, can I be honest with you? You're going to be a slave to something. You're going to be a slave to sin, and that leads to death. Or you're going to be a slave to God, and Jesus, that leads to life, and life more abundantly. And it just kind of flipped the way he was thinking. Because he didn't realize, and he knew everybody that he could mention was a slave to sin. There was something in their life that controlled them, that controlled the decisions that they made. Yeah, we live in a free country, but a lot of us, a lot of people we know, and maybe people in this room, and you're a slave to that sin. And tonight God's saying, I want to set you free. That price was already paid for your freedom. I hope you hear that. That price was already paid for your freedom. It's not like, man, I hope we can come up with the bail money. Man, I really like, no, it's been paid. You're sitting in jail for no reason. The door's unlocked. Walk out. Why would you stay? Why? I can't. Nobody would stay. It's the greatest, most amazing thing in the world. You've been set free, yet people are still sitting in jail. How? Man, maybe it's just because we haven't told them yet. Maybe if we just let them know, get up and walk out, you're not a slave anymore. You can literally leave freely. But we know way too many people that are just sitting there thinking, I wish I was free. I wish somebody'd come bail me out. It's been paid. They can walk out freely. We got to make sure we let them know that. Man, if you're a believer in here, you got to make sure you're letting people know. I'll never forget, Pastor Bill came to ORU Chapel one time, and he was talking about, he goes, you know, everybody looks at sinners or those people. And he said, man, you got to look at it differently. You got to look at it as family that's locked up. You'll do anything in the world to get your family out. It's just family that's trapped. We got to find a way to get them out. And I love that because it changed my mindset. It wasn't because I was one of them. It's family that just doesn't know the truth yet. That truth sets them free. It gets them out of that bondage that maybe they've been stuck in generationally. Maybe it's not just them that's been stuck there, but their dad was stuck and their dad's dad was stuck. And they don't realize that it's so simple. All we got to do is abide in his word. Point one, if we abide in Jesus, we will know the truth and it'll set us free. Man, if you want to know the truth, abide in the word. Abide in it. Be in it every day. Read those promises. Know what it says. As my kids get older, the younger ones, you know, we'll do memory verses in the car. You know, they're just learning to read, and the Bible can be a complex thing to read sometimes for them. You know, they'll hear these words like, what is that? But my older kids, to have a cell phone, they have to read two chapters of the Bible every day, and they have to send me the verse that sticks out to them in those two chapters. So if they want to keep their phone, that's the standard. They read, so my oldest daughter's going into eighth grade. She's read the entire New Testament, and she's in Job. Good luck, right? Job. And she keeps finding cool verses, and I'm like, did I read that when I read Job? I was just so depressed. I don't think I saw that in there. I was just feeling for Job, you know? And but it's so neat because for me, it's like, okay, when they were younger, it's like, hey, recite after me. And I still want them to do that, but I also wanted to make sure they're reading it for themselves. They have to know the truth because at some point they walk out on their own. At some point, dad's not there to tell them what to do. And I want to make sure that I'm preparing them, doing everything that I can to prepare them for that moment. And listen, that phone, they want to keep it. I'm like, did you read twice today just to keep it? I'm like, I'm not going to tell you, you just got to read once. But they want to do everything they can to keep that. But I love it because the word of God's just all over their phone. And they love, you know, dad, what's easier translation? Or dad, what did this mean? And it's so cool when your kids are asking you about the word of God at a young age. Here's John 8, 31 through 36 in the Message. It's what we just read, but it's in the Message translation. It says, then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and that truth will free you. I love that. You're going to experience it for yourself. Man, if you begin to live this word that we're reading and that you're hearing about, man, it's going to free you. It goes on to say in verse 34 through 8, Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped. I circle trapped because I think people don't realize that, but they become trapped in a dead-end life and is in fact a slave. A slave is a transient who can't come and go at will. The son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you are free through and through. I'm 37 years old, and if I went to my parents' house today, I can just walk right in. It's my parents' house. I lived there my whole life. I grew up. I can go in the fridge. I can warm up some refried beans. I could sit down, warm up some tortillas, and I could just start eating, and it's not weird. because I'm a son. Dubs comes to my house, and he walks in like he owns the place. He gets whatever, something healthy, like a salad, because Dubs is on a healthy cake, sits down. My dad might pull out a gun on him. I don't know what's going to happen in that situation. I'm just hoping Jeremy knocks and says, I'm Chano's bald friend from Tulsa. That way they know who he is. They call him Pelon. If you guys didn't know, that means bald. It's a good nickname. They're like, hey, how's your bald friend doing? I'm like, he's great. But a son can come and go at will. We're free. There's freedom there. A slave can't. And a random person can't just do that. The son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you are free through and through. And that's what it is. I mean, the truth sets you free. And we've heard it. Maybe we've sang in a song. But I think some of us in this room are still stuck. There's still a sin maybe that's enslaved you, or that it's had you for so long, you've kind of forgotten about it. You kind of just thought, I'm kind of always going to be in poverty. I'm kind of always going to be sick. I'm kind of always going to be down and out and sad and depressed. And you've just allowed yourself to be okay with it. It's like you've come to grips with it. Jesus is thinking, I paid the price for you not to live like that. I've paid the price for you to be free, not just in some areas of your life, but in every area of your life. God doesn't just want to think, you know what? I set you free in your finances. I hope that's good for you. Good luck. No, you know, he didn't give his son for that. He gave his son for every area of our life. But man, if we don't know the truth, it's like we don't realize we're free. So we can't just come in and hear it a couple times a week, once a week. Man, we got to get into it ourselves. We got to make sure that we're abiding in that word, because that truth sets you free. Free. No entanglements. You don't have to be stuck in what you've always been stuck in. That's what I love about God. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your family history. All that's just washed out. He's just saying, here's who I say you are. Here's what my word provides for you. Do you want it? And I hope we say yes. I hope you say yes to that freedom. Yeah, I want to be free. I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore, because that leads to death. Man, freedom leads to peace and life. John chapter 4, starting in verse 19, says this. Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. And this is the woman at the well he's talking to. Our ancestors worshiped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, and it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that will count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. I love that. Am I myself before God in worship? And that's what God can work with, because there's humility. You don't come to the altar and worship God and think, I got it all together, God. No cracks, no mistakes here. I'm awesome, actually, God, just to let you know. And then we forget to tell him he's awesome. And we forget to tell him that he's good. And it becomes about us instead of coming and letting him know, be yourself. Man, simply and honestly, where are you? Because the Bible says when we humble ourselves, he'll lift us up. But it says pride comes before the fall. And too often we can get in those prideful moments where you're like, I'm good, all is well. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. God's way of salvation made available through the Jews, but the time is coming. It has in fact come when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. Our true selves. Who am I really right now? Because here's the deal. God's going to make it better. God's going to clear it all up. That's what's so amazing about God. He doesn't leave us who we are. That's what I love about just like a dad, I'm not going to leave my kids where they're at. I want to keep helping them get better and better and better. And the reality is you don't really quit raising your kids, because then they got to learn how to be a dad, and they got to learn how to be a granddad. You're always teaching them something. Same with God. But if we're not ourselves, If we're not honest about where we really are, it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult to know the truth, to find the truth. You have to be yourself. That's point number two, be yourself. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God, this is who I am and where I'm at. Use me, change me, mold me, shape me. I want to be like you. I want more of you, but this is who I am right now. And most of us, the first time we came to God, that's how we were. Most of us, when we came to God, I know I was broken. I was lost. I didn't know where I was going and what I was doing in life. I mean, I was about to turn 18 years old. I had graduated high school. I didn't really have any plans for college necessarily. I didn't know. I had no direction in my life, and I was lost. And I knew I was lost in sin. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I wasn't wondering, man, maybe I shouldn't be doing these things. I knew it. There was always something in me. There always was. I knew I was. I'm not living the life the way I should be living it. I just came before God broken. God, I need you. God, I give you my life, every part of it. God, come have your way. That should still be the cry of our heart. God, I need you. God, I'm broken. God, do whatever you want to do in my life. But we start thinking we have it together. And we start thinking, I think I'm good. Hey, I've read the Bible like four times. I think I got it down. I think I've abided in that truth. I think I've been, because here's the enemy. He doesn't give up. The enemy's going to keep trying to knock you down. The enemy's going to keep trying to get you enslaved into sin. And so you may overcome this one, but he's going to come at you with another one. That's why we have to abide, be in, be a part of the Word all the time. Whether you're 12 or 80, you got to be in the Word. You got to abide in it. The enemy's going to keep trying. Some of you guys are in the best place of your life you've ever been. You're the closest to God you've ever been. You're the most committed to the local church you've ever been. The enemy's not thinking, I'm going to leave him alone. They got to figure it out now. He's thinking, what can I do? Can I bring pride in? Can I bring a distraction in? Man, what did they used to struggle with? Can I just slowly start introducing him to that again? That's the enemy. The crazy thing is we know that, and yet we still get suckered in sometimes. We still allow him to come in because we quit abiding in the Word. We start thinking, I got this. I know seasons of my life I've done that. Man, I'm not sitting up here pointing fingers. I'm sitting up here saying there are seasons of my life where I started being like, okay, I don't think I read the Word the last few days. I know I might have told some people about it and I might have shared it and somebody might have texted one to me, but that I sit down and get in the Word because it is so important. I have to abide in it. Why? That's where my freedom comes from, abiding in His Word. Be yourself. Come humbly. Have an honest assessment of yourself and allow God to change you. Allow God to do what He wants to do on the inside of you. James 4:6 said that He gives grace to the humble. And James 4:10 says, humble ourselves and He will exalt us. And that's all being yourself is. That's all coming to God and worshiping in spirit and truth is just saying, here I am, here's who I am. Man, I need you, I want you. I desire your ways more than my ways. God, I still need you and I still need you to change me. I still need you to find those areas of my life that I'm holding back on and I'm trying not to give to you. And just let Him do His work. He's so good at it. Man, God is such a loving Father. The best that we can do is not even close to. I think about how much I love my kids and how much I want to shape them. It's nothing compared to how much God loves me and how much God wants to shape me. And that is so humbling. He loves us so much. He wants what's best for us. He wants us to be free. Don't get stuck. Man, don't start thinking, I'm good. I've been good for a while. I don't really need to do that anymore. Because I think we do those things that get us to here and then we forget. And we go back to doing the things that got us stuck in the first place. Man, keep moving. Keep pressing on to the things of God. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. He's the truth. Whatever you're looking for, that truth, you'll find in Him because that's who He is. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. It's in Him. You read the Gospels, you read who Jesus is, that's the truth. Did He heal? Yes. Did He provide? Yes. That's who He is. He's the truth. That's how He lived it. That's how He lived His life. And that's what He desires for us. Man, He wants us to be free so bad. I couldn't imagine what I would do if one of my kids was locked up. I would do anything in the world to try and get them out. I would. They're trapped. They're stuck. How do I get them out? God's the same way with us. And he came to this conclusion, it's going to cost me the life of my son. And he said, I'll pay it. I'll pay for the freedom of everyone by the life of my son. Think about that. Think about that price. It's been paid. Bail money is there. You can walk out, yet people stay in jail. People stay stuck. Romans chapter 8. We're going to sit here for a little while for the end of the service here. So just, if you got a Bible, open to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That's truth. That's truth. He set us free from the power of sin and death. Please know that. There is no sin that you're entangled in that you can't overcome because Jesus did it. The price was paid. The price was paid. It goes on to say, verse 3, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. There's our directive. So we've been set free. We're no longer entangled in sin. Jesus, if you haven't given your life to Christ, we give you an opportunity moment. That price has been paid. You can live that amazing life. You can live that free life. Moving forward, we just got to abide in the Word, and we got to be ourselves. And we got to give that honest assessment. God, here's where I'm at, but change me. I desire your ways above my ways. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. This is truth. Remember, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. What are you thinking about? Because it matters. Man, when you get money, are you thinking, I need to tithe first? Are you thinking, who can I help? Man, is there somebody to give to? Or are you thinking about, what am I going to do with my money? Just your thoughts are important. Man, are you thinking, it's Wednesday night, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to worship. I'm excited about it. I'm going to hear a word. I got my notebook or my phone out. I'm excited. Or are you thinking, what am I going to go do for dinner after this? Quick Trip hot dogs sound really good right about now. Maybe that's just me. I love Quick Trip hot dogs. But what are you thinking about? Man, are you thinking about the things that are going to help you in your life with God? Are you thinking about those things that you know lead to death? The way you think will say a lot about you. And here's where you can give your honest assessment. You know what you're thinking about. I don't know what Brett's thinking about right now. He could be thinking about, is he almost done? He could be thinking, man, is there an area of my life where I'm not free? Is there an area of my life that I've kept hidden from God and I'm ready to give it to him? I don't know. I can't do it for you. I can't get into Turpin's mind. I can't do it. But he knows. And he knows where his thoughts are right now. And he can give an honest assessment. You know what? My thoughts are pleasing to God. Pastor Bill shared a verse on Sunday. It was Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Let what I say and what I think about, let it be pleasing to you, God. That's what this verse is saying in essence. It says, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about the things that please the Spirit. Verse 6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Right? Boo. No one wants that. I'm out on death, right? But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Yes, please. I want life. I want peace. That's what I desire. I think so many people in the world, what they're doing in life is they're trying to find peace, and it's found in Jesus. It's not found in success or the amount of money they make or their family or that. It is literally found in Jesus. And here's what he's saying. It says, but letting the Spirit control your mind, it leads to life and peace. Man, people will pay so much money to try and find that peace. And it's a free gift from God. You can't pay for it. It's been paid for. It's been paid for by Jesus. Man, how are we thinking? What is our mind? The truth of the matter is how you think matters. And what you think about matters. What you think about absolutely matters. Verse 7, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Can I tell you, my heart's desire is to please God. I don't want to be controlled by my sinful nature, because it says I can't please God if I'm controlled by that. And there's something in us that wants that good job, son, that well done. Whether it's from our earthly parents, but really that desire comes from our heavenly Father. We can put it on our dads here on earth, but the reality is that desire is there because we want our heavenly Father to say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Such a powerful word. Man, when you tell your kids, good job, well done, I'm proud of you, they light up. It's good. Whether it was the simplest thing or they score, like my kids score a goal, good job. They take their juice box and put it in the trash, good job. Like whatever it is, it's just that. But there's something about them hearing that. When they do what's right, good job, well done. And there's something in us, man, it's in every one of us. We want to hear that. We desire to hear that. And we can't hear that if we're controlled by the sinful nature. Verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. He wants to give us life and peace. It's the desire of every dad. Man, we want our kids to have a great life and to have peace. Just something about it. That's the same from our Heavenly Father. What are you dealing with? What are you going through? Where are you stuck? Where are you still a slave? He set you free. We abide in that truth. There's freedom in it. Man, what are we thinking about? That makes all the difference in the world. And it's just crazy because, I mean, we could, you know, sometimes you're up here and you visualize and I start wondering, where is that person and where is that person? Man, are they living free? Are they living the life that God desired? Man, are they, I mean, they're here, but man, are they not free? Are they stuck in sin? Are they slave to that? Are they in bondage? Verse 12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. I love that. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, which means our sinful nature is still urging us to do things. We still have an urge to lie. We still have an urge to cheat. We still have an urge to be negative. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a conversation my wife and I will have. And I try to think I'm Mr. Positive, but there was one time she just said, hey, you're being a little, like, I feel like you're choosing to have a negative, or what did she say? She said, you're being a little negative. And I said, yeah, I'm choosing to right now, which is not what you want to say. You want to say, you know what? I don't need to be negative right now. I'm sorry. My apologies. But I was acting in myself. I was just being a little prideful. Like, you're darn right. I'm negative sometimes. But that's because that sinful nature is urging us. Man, it's urging us, but we have no obligation to give into it. He set us free. Therefore, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You're free. You're not obliged. You don't have to do it anymore. Man, whether it's drugs, alcohol, cheating, stealing, being negative, being depressed, you don't have to do it no more. You've been set free. You have no obligation to that sinful nature. It's dead and gone. Please hear me. I feel like people in here, you feel like that. I got to. I was tempted. I just gave in. We all have temptation. Welcome to the Temptation Club. We're all a part of it sitting in this room. None of us are free from it, but we don't have to give into it. We're not obliged to give into it. Why? Because we abide in his word. He set us free. It's like, come on, I'm good. I don't do that anymore, man. That's not who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm free. I'm free. He set me free. I'm not going to spit on that freedom. He gave it to me. Could you imagine somebody setting you free and you walking out and then saying, nah, I'm going to go back in. And sitting down and the door's still open, but you're choosing to be in that cell. Doesn't make any sense, but it happens every day. Man, we know people who go back to that life and go back to being stuck. I'm going to finish out here. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That's it. Led by the Spirit of God, we're children of God. It's not hard. There's no parameters on that. We're just led by His Spirit, and that's what makes us His children. Verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. You've been adopted in. He paid the price for you to be a part of His family. He paid a price for you to be free. He paid a price for you not to be stuck anymore. Listen, don't let temptation make you feel bad. We're all tempted. Temptation is not sin. I remember when Pastor Bill said that the first time, it struck a chord in me. Because I thought, occasionally I feel like I'm tempted with stuff, and I know I shouldn't be. And it's like, no. Just don't give in to the temptation. Don't entertain that thought. You know what's right now. You're not obligated to give in to that sinful nature. You don't have to live like that anymore. You've been set free. It is for freedom that He set us free. We abide in that truth and we're set free. It is a simple choice, but it is a choice. It's a choice we have to make. You know what? I've been stuck here too long. I've been stuck in this sin. I've been a slave to this sin for too long. I gotta walk out. And Jesus is just sitting there. And it says He knocks at the door of our heart, but really it feels like He's knocking at the door of our cell, saying, come out, man. You don't got to live like this. There's a big, great world that I have for you. Man, you're gonna reach and help so many people. Just come out of there. Because the enemy knows if we're stuck, we can't help people. He knows if we're in this jail, we can't get out freely, tell people the good news. We can't go get other people out. But when we're free, we can let everybody know how much God loves them. He has a plan for their life. They're not obligated to give in to their sinful nature, and they're free.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.